everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Baseless Speculation. All the pop culture news and the research, so you don't have to. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
I'm Joel.
And today we're joined by a very special guest.
Hi, I'm Michael McMillan.
Oh my God.
Welcome.
Dusha was impressed and shocked.
It's Michael McMillan.
It is great.
Hollywood's very own, and one of the hosts of the Bigfoot Collectors Club.
The best in the biz.
Boys!
There's been an announcement.
Oh, yeah.
So what do we think is going to happen with all the news coming from the DC slate?
Yeah, that's good. So I think that it's straight off the bat.
Yeah.
I pose you a question, Joel Zammit. What do you think is going to happen in the DCU Chapter 1, Gods and Monsters?
Great question. Well, first we're going to get some monsters, and then we're going to get some gods.
Yeah.
Now, Gods and Monsters, that is an animated DC movie, right? Like, I know it's also the name of Chapter 1 of the new DCEU slate.
No. Again, wrong. We have a name now. Mm-hmm. DCU. James Gunn. He's come out.
DCU?
He's like, here's a press conference. I keep calling it a press conference, but it was a series of YouTube videos.
Yeah.
There is a Justice League animated movie that's based on a miniseries, comic book miniseries called Gods and Monsters.
Okay.
And I think it's like one where like it's one of those where like Batman and Wonder Woman and Superman are nasty. You know, I think it's one of those.
Okay.
Everyone's like kind of old and grumpy and fascist.
Oh, so it's a decrepit Justice League.
I think it was one of the last projects that Bruce Timm had, or one of the last ones he's done.
Yeah.
For like the original Batman the Animated Series guys.
I suspect I've seen it and it was pretty good, but I don't remember a single thing about it. So I don't remember.
So it's been confirmed that it's DCU Gods and Chapter 1 Gods and Monsters. Is that right,
yes,
JD?
That is the name of
the title.
Okay. So, boys, what do we think is going to happen in DCU Chapter 1 Gods and Monsters?
So straight off the bat, I think, just to clear the table, James Gunn comes out at the start of this and he's like, hey, those movies that are coming out this year, don't worry, they're awesome. You should definitely go see them. But they do mean nothing in the future.
It's also so funny, like, of course he has to say they're awesome. He can't come out and be like,
oh, yeah,
those movies still coming out, fuck them.
With the I'd like
to preface everything I'm going to say in this podcast with, I would love to be in any of these movies, and I would love to work with DC Comics in any capacity. And I have to say again, because I have actually written for DC Comics before, so I might be pissing some people off if I get too opinionated with any of this. But
unprecedented. This is officially the most dangerous episode of Baseless Speculation.
Yeah, let's do it, guys.
Okay, let's name some names.
Let's play with fire. It was interesting because I did feel like in that video that he did, there was a sort of. I don't even think it was sort of, but there was this admission up top, like, we know things have been a little bad here, so we're going to try to fix it. Like, that's really what the whole thing felt like. It did seem coded in an apology for what's come before, which I don't hate everything that's come before.
Absolutely.
I haven't seen all of it.
I hate the majority.
trying to think what I like and don't like.
I think that some of their swings and misses have been such colossal misses that they go full circle and it turns into a home run. Yeah, this is a confusing baseball analogy. It's like swinging so hard.
That doesn't happen in baseball.
It's like swinging so hard.
Swinging so hard you hit the umpire so you just go for a home run.
Yeah. Everybody's just so impressed they don't say anything or call you out on it.
Baseball in the 20s, yeah?
Yeah.
Anything went.
Yeah.
Or it's kind of like if the pitcher threw the ball, baseball doesn't get played much in Australia. The pitcher threw the ball.
Yeah.
The catcher went like.
I was like, so far you're doing a good job of just describing baseball. So I don't know why you backed away from it. The pitcher throws the ball. Sometimes the catcher catches.
That is baseball. Yeah.
The batter swings and misses, but does like almost like a Tasmanian devil spin when the ball goes past. Catcher gets it, but somehow the bat still gets in the way. So the umpire's called a strike, but then he hits the ball so far, but it makes no money. But I'm in the cinema being like, that was wild.
The baseball metaphor became not a metaphor at the end of that. You can't do that. You can't bail on the metaphor.
Also, you're watching a baseball game in a movie theater, which is also confusing. Maybe you don't understand baseball.
Maybe that's not baseball at all.
It's the bottom of the ninth.
The great American sport, baseball movie. Yeah.
There's a field of dreams.
Take me out to the ball game.
Build it and they will come.
Frankfurters.
Anyway, I truly believe that Batman v Superman is one of the most magical cinema experiences I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
Because
agreed.
Every decision of that movie, I was like, what?
I don't think the three of us, the Baseless Speculation Boys, have ever been closer than we were when we watched that movie. That was a real bonding moment.
You were almost as close as Gotham was to Metropolis in that film.
Exactly.
Which is a decision that will baffle me for the rest of my life.
Oh, I love that so much.
Like, if those two cities were that close together, why would Batman or Superman ignore what was happening in either one?
Yeah. Yep.
Like, Batman wouldn't need to be Batman because Superman would cover both DC and Gotham.
You'd be like, should I turn to a life of vigilantism? Oh, wait, no, there's Superman. I'll do something else.
Yeah, I'll give my money to charity.
Superman would have heard I know they're the same age, guys. Bear with me. But I'm saying Superman would have heard the bullet that had been fired from the dude that was murdering Joe Chill killing Bruce Wayne's parents. He would have caught that bullet and there never would have been a Batman.
Absolutely. He would have been there. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Was the implication the city, I don't know if this was just something I made up in my head, but that the city in Suicide Squad, which is called Midway City, midway between Gotham and Metropolis?
Means it's wedged in between that little bay.
I assumed...
All the DC cities are just right there.
Yeah.
It's basically like Newark to New Jersey. they're all there. And then there are no other superheroes in any other part of
Absolutely.
The country.
I assumed it was kind of they were making,
so if you kind of had like a zoomed out view, like the bay would be a perfect kind of like arch, so you could kind of have a D and a C.
I assume that's what they were going for. Yeah.
In the bay, if you accidentally fly a plane in there, that's where the
Aquaman's home.
Yeah, Themyscira is on top, and then underwater is Atlantis. That's all in the one area.
I always pictured, in the comic books, I know that Gotham City is next to an ocean, and it's clearly supposed to be based on New York, but in my mind, I always kind of put it where Chicago is, made it like a Midwestern city, and then Metropolis was like that, that they were further apart. But I'm assuming they would be like, my guess is like, because there's also New York City in the DC comics and DC universe, so that's also confusing. So it seems like that whole East Coast is just lined with these major cities.
Does that
maybe
that-
like... An hour, maybe they're like an hour or two drive apart. I'm not sure.
Do you reckon the reason they put the city so close together is that in the writing room, they were like, how's they meant to meet? We're going to have a scene where Superman takes a bus or whatever.
How can Superman see the bat signal? Well, they got across the bay. If he caught a ferry, he'd be there so quick.
Okay, he can fly. So actually, we've stumbled into some baseless speculation here that I'll run by you guys.
Okay.
About Dawn of Justice. Also, don't forget it's called Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Yes. How could I?
Yeah.
Because it's the dawn of the Justice League in a movie where they beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. we all know that every good superhero team starts with a fight with amongst all the heroes.
Yep.
So here was my theory, what originally the plan was. And maybe you guys have already covered this on the show, but I thought it was pretty clear that when they announced Man of Steel and made Man of Steel, that that was set in the Dark Knight movie universe, because it was a grittier, more realistic Superman.
Yep.
Had the same kind of color palette as the Dark Knight movies, and it would explain why there was no Superman during the events of the Dark Knight trilogy, because he was afraid and hiding out, being like a longshore, you know, shoresman and all that stuff. And also it was produced by Christopher Nolan, and I think Jonathan Nolan was in on that.
Yeah.
And there are references to Wayne Enterprises. There's like the satellite that gets smashed or whatever. So my theory was like Man of Steel, and also like Dark Knight, Man of Steel, they're going by their, like, you know, titles, not so much the character name. So my feeling was they were building towards a Batman versus Superman where Christian Bale would have come out of retirement from Europe and revealed himself to the world as like, nope, Batman's still alive. And he's got to come back from Europe now that there's this big Superman guy here and assess whether or not he's a baddie. And then that was going to be... So it all would have been the current DCEU would have been still the Dark Knight universe, right?
Yeah.
They could have had... They would have had, what's his face, being Robin or Nightwing. You know what I mean? They
could have all these. Like,
So, but then Christian Bale said no. I think he was asked to come back and he said no.
Yeah.
So I think there was a decision made where they went, okay, if he's not coming back to play Batman and Batman versus Superman, then we're going to retroactively say that Man of Steel is now the Iron Man of this DCEU. And we'll bring in a Ben Affleck Batman. But I think that threw everything off because clearly that Man of Steel was supposed to be part of the Dark Knight universe.
Yeah.
So already from the get-go, the tone and where we were and where it was confusing. And I think they made a misstep with a darker Superman going into this world.
Do you think the intention was to have like a trilogy of Man of Steel movies as well? Like, you had a trilogy of Dark Knight movies, and then the seventh movie is like the, oh, now it's Batman versus Superman.
Back,
but then when everybody was like, I don't know, Man of Steel, it turned out how we wanted to or whatever.
That could have made a bit more sense, especially if, like, say, Superman or Cal grew up with Clark at that point.
Yeah.
He'd grown up with a Batman that had made the news and sort of appeared a few times in Gotham, which would kind of make sense why at the end where he's wearing a red cape, everyone's like, oh, just like a hero, as opposed to just like a kid wearing a bedsheet. And if there was a more violent sort of like, oh yeah, Batman has no jurisdiction kind of stuff, and going from like, it would kind of make more sense if that was who Superman kind of aspired to be.
Right. Because that's the other problem with these movies, too. There's the stuff where, I think in Man of Steel, like Clark Kent, they show flashbacks of Clark Kent running around while Martha Kent, we all know both of their names are Martha, was doing her hanging laundry, and he's like running around with a cape tied around. That always bothered me because, like, well, wait a minute. That's a Superman reference.
Yeah.
So why would a little kid be running around with a cape around his neck pretending to be a superhero? Superheroes don't exist in this world yet. And the term superhero comes from Superman. So what comic books was Clark Kent and, say, Bruce Wayne, what were they growing? Like, what were the comic book characters established in their 1939 that were Batman and Superman?
It is awesome to imagine that the cape thing is just a thing he full-on invented. And then when he's an adult, he's like, I started this. I did this when I was a kid, and it's still good now.
Well, that's the whole kind of thing. Like, you know, back when Superman was, like, created, his whole costume was sort of based on the strongman like the early 1900s sort of thing.
Yep.
And so that's why the underpants on the outside, the tights, that kind of stuff. So you kind of have this weird stuff, which is sort of wrapped in a lot of our history, that when you sort of have to modernize it, you sort of have to take away those influences that have influenced our current day. And so, him having been around while Batman was around, or having been growing up while Batman was Batmanning, that would have been great, because they would have kind of explained a lot of that kind of fuckery, as well as giving him a bit more of that, edgier, I guess, characterization that Man of Steel has.
That's why I've always argued you gotta do a Superman movie that is set in the late 30s.
Yeah!
Put it in the era. Put Batman and Superman in the era that they were invented. It worked so well for the first Wonder Woman movie, even though I know, you know, she was created in the 40s, but putting her in that, like, past setting is really cool.
It's like, because it's like where Metropolis and Gotham are based on. Those are Art Deco cities. So when you have them in the modern day, you know, it's doesn't always work.
And then you can make him more of a, like, rough and tumble kind of wrestler fighter guy who's not able to fly yet. He's just jumping over buildings, and he can still get, like, if you drove a truck into him, it would knock him over, and wouldn't kill him, but you can make him a little bit more of a human. That's what they should do. Don't make him dark. Just make him a little bit more vulnerable. Listen, guys, I have a lot of opinions on all these comic books.
Look, us too.
Absolutely.
This all ties into what I was going to say to start the talk of the DCU Chapter 1, Gods and Monsters. This is ignoring any secret, like Christian Bale saying no, and even the death of Heath Ledger and stuff, changing plans. Mm-hmm. This is the fourth 10-year plan at DC that's happened in the last 9 years.
That's awesome.
So wait, let's go back. Remind me and the listeners what were the four? So what were the first three?
The first one was when A Man of Steel originally came out, and that was when they announced the slate of movies that we're going to follow, which was originally, I believe, like Man of Steel, Man of Steel 2.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think they were going Justice League from there, but then Man of Steel 2 turned into Batman v Superman. Yeah. But the first one was like kind of, because this was before, like, the first Avengers movie had just come out, so superhero stuff was blowing up because Avengers made $1 billion.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think this one was a little, like, more on the, like, quieter side.
Well, I think it was also, like, pre the period of time where, Marvel would do these huge announcements of, like, these are our upcoming 25 movies or whatever. So there was no precedent for that.
Yeah, because stuff wasn't leaking as much. So they didn't have to, like, get ahead of all the leaks.
Yeah, and I also feel like this 10-year plan kind of fizzled out pretty quickly, probably when they were like, oh, Man of Steel, again, didn't turn out how we wanted it to, and Christian Bale's not coming back. So, brand new 10-year plan? Like, I think that's kind of, ended pretty quickly.
Yeah. I think that was, like the first, from, like, 2006 to, around about that, where we want that BVS sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I think it was...
Yeah. The second 10-year plan comes on the heels of Batman v Superman when they announce Batman v Superman, Justice League Part 1-3. The Snyder Universe stuff. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's also when they first announced The Flash.
That's right. Yeah, and The Flash has moved around a ton.
Ezra Miller was cast in 2013 for The Flash. It is now 2023. The movie's still coming.
I fucking love that, dude. That's so fucking good.
Now, do you gentlemen remember when George Miller was going to do the Justice League,
Dark.
Adam Brody playing the Flash.
Yeah,
Armie Hammer playing Batman. Yep. I can't remember who was Superman or Wonder Woman, but that was like. And then Wolfgang Peterson was
Cotrana, whoever that is, was going to be Superman.
Oh, okay. And shortly before that, they were trying to do a Batman versus Superman directed by Wolfgang Peterson, which they had, the rumor was it was going to be Ben Affleck, I believe, is Superman at the time, and they wanted to get Matt Damon to play Batman and pit Matt and Ben against each other.
That'd have been perfect.
That's awesome. And then they should have, Kevin Smith should have directed.
Yes. He probably would have loved that.
It would have been Snoochie Boochies.
Yeah, right. A little sneaky cameo by Jan Silent Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one with Megan Gale as Wonder Woman.
Oh, that's right.
As well, yeah. And Common as Green Lantern?
Common is, he was going to play John Stewart, which I thought was good casting.
Yeah. Megan Gale as Wonder Woman's good too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the same sort of.
The
same kind of casting logic as casting Gal Gadot.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That was that initial one. And then, everything just sort of, fell to shit when they were like, well, because Abrams had a script for a Superman film that they were like, No, 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 no.
McG was going to direct that. And then I knew people who screen tested for that one.
Yeah.
And then I think that became Superman Returns. I think that's when the X-Men guys came over and Brian Singer and those writers took over and did that. Okay. I think that was because Abrams Superman was supposed to be one that was more alien, more weird, a little darker. Because everyone has this thing where they're like, we've got to fix Superman. He's too much of a Boy Scout. Mm. He's too much of a good guy. He's too bright. Mm. Everyone's always trying to darken him up.
Why?
Exactly. Why? Look at Captain America. Look what Marvel did with Captain America. Yeah. He's a quote-unquote Boy Scout, but he's still super cool, super tough. If you put a bright beacon of goodness in a cynical world, that's interesting enough. Yeah. They did it with Wonder Woman.
Yeah, if you look at is it Captain America 2? I think like Captain America 2 is like basically Winter Soldier is the perfect Superman film.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Because 100%. The thing is, it's like Cap America doesn't change. Cap America is always going to be that little like Boy Scout that's like I'm doing what's right. The world around.
Yeah, I could do this all day. Change. Like he's the bully kid from Brooklyn, and that's what's so good about that version of that character in the movies is they don't try to make him anything that he's not. The character works for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't try and really crib from that ultimate universe Captain America where he's just like, wait, what, this A on my forehead? What does it stand for?
A little racist and misogynistic.
Plus, I think, like, you know, like the reason everybody loves Avatar now is because have been...
It's because it's awesome.
It's freaking awesome. It's sick as hell.
Everyone wants to be fucking blue.
Yeah, everyone wants to be fucking blue and drive a crab robot. Like, it's sick as shit. But it's also because it's a deeply uncynical movie in an era of deeply cynical movies. I think that Superman coming out now as a deeply uncynical character would have the Avatar effect, where people would be like, this is novel and crazy, because we just haven't seen it for 10 million years. You know?
Yeah.
So I'm just going to transition into the third 10-year plan that was announced. Yeah. And that happened actually kind of recently. David Zaslav, when he was canceling everything. He was Zaslav. Like, I got a 10-year plan.
That was the briefest of the 10-year plan.
Batgirl. Batgirl got destroyed.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Batgirl.
So, it's like, it's all right, we got a 10-year plan going forward. And then I think the 10-year plan that he announced started with hiring James Gunn. Oh, he was like, we need to find people to be the head of DC, but also announce stuff. And then James Gunn came in and then was like, I got a 10-year plan. Which, look, I trust his more than David Zaslav's, but that's okay. Anyway, I have found a tweet from 2018 which lists a bunch of properties that were announced because DC, again, just to cast everyone's mind back.
Yeah.
Mm. Pre-Snyder Cut coming out, but post everyone kind of turning on the DC EU at that time.
Yeah.
DC just started announcing so many movies and like officially announcing them, not just being like, not like,
oh, yeah, we're thinking
or,
about
like,
making this or whatever.
It was like, this movie's coming up. Yeah. So this is from June 2018.
Okay.
Some of these have been announced now.
Okay. All right.
Released now or like gone into production. But on the 6th of June 2016, here's a list of DC movies announced by Warner Brothers that haven't gone into production.
Okay.
Batgirl. Obviously, that went into production.
We know what happened there,
Birds of Prey, which did come out.
Okay.
Nightwing, Deathstroke. The Batman, which did come out.
I remember the Deathstroke movie. I remember people talking about that. That
got cast.
My buddy Joe Manganiello from True Blood was playing Deathstroke. He was revealed in both.
Yeah.
He was in both Justice League movies, I think.
Yeah.
And he was supposed to. That's right, because also, sorry, I'm interrupting.
That's okay.
If this is on the list, remember Ben Affleck was going to direct the Batman, and Deathstroke was going to be the villain of that.
Yeah.
And then that fell through. Then the Robert Pattinson movie was happening, but then Deathstroke from the Batman, they were just being like, well, we still want to keep Joe around. He rocks.
Yeah.
We're going to make a Deathstroke movie. And then, because this again is the era where it's like everyone's, it's the Sony thing as well, where they're just like, well, we can't put Batman in every one of these movies.
But we got the rights to these other guys.
We can probably make movies based on anyone.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Then there's a Flashpoint movie and a Flash movie. Obviously, we now know that those are the same movie.
Yeah, they've combined.
A New Gods movie, a Cyborg movie, Gotham City Sirens, which I think was announced after Birds of Prey again, but is definitely not going to happen.
No.
What was that going to be? That was going to be Spoiler and Batgirl, Huntress.
Batgirl and Hunt. Yeah.
Yeah. And
Black Canary.
I think it was going to be, and like Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just that's just Birds of Prey.
Yeah.
Was it going to be basically the sequel to Birds of Prey, which was the sequel to...
But wasn't there also a TV show called Gotham City Sirens, or possibly an animated movie as well?
There's a comic book run called Gotham City Sirens that may have been turned into an animated film.
Also an animated film or TV show.
Well, you think of the Harley Quinn TV
action
show?
No. On the CW or WB. Was that also Birds of Prey?
Yes.
Birds of Prey popped up in one of the CW shows.
It was it could have been Arrow.
This is pre-Arrow. This is like early aughts. Like a short-lived goth. It was Huntress. Huntress was the lead.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think she was like the traditional Huntress. It was like supposed to be the daughter of Bruce Wayne and Selina Kyle.
Whoa.
Only did a season, or maybe was it like
two or three? I remember driving across Barnum Boulevard and seeing there's a Warner Brothers billboard that's at this like one corner when you're crossing the 101 freeway, and I remember seeing that billboard up for a very long time because it had Oracle. That one had Oracle in it.
Yeah,
so it was Barbara Gordon, but post paralyzation.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I can understand. Like, I guess this is just like the boys reminisce about what the DCU have done for the last two decades.
I actually like this game.
Yeah, because it's just kind of, I can understand why everyone is a little bit, I guess, not knowing what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at that Marvel, you're like, okay, at least you can say what you want in terms of quality. You can say what you want in terms of where they're going. At least you can be like, it's coherent and I can understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This, I'm like, oh, fuck yeah, I remember Deathstroke. Oh, my God.
That's the energy that he came in. He's like, I know. You know what I mean?
I get it. They full-on Domino's pizzaed the DC.
Yeah.
I know. Maybe the previous movies weren't up to snuff. Our pizza tastes like shit. I get it.
Maybe some people got food poisoning. I understand.
Fair enough. Doesn't mean we're bad people. We just got to fix it.
I just fell in that Birds of Prey hole because I needed to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It turns out the DC universe and the continuity of movies and stuff like that may have always been fucked.
Yeah.
So, this was going to ultimately be my argument. It's never been, it's always been all over the place.
Absolutely.
The Birds of Prey TV series. They've been doing this for years.
Yeah.
Birds of Prey TV series.
Because the Burton two films, like, they got nothing to do with the next one, really.
Well,
no.
Well, that's where this is about to come up. Joel Zammit, shut up and listen. Michael, you can keep talking. Zammit's time.
I'll shut up.
So, the Birds of Prey TV series that we were talking about is October 2002 to February 2003. I think it's two seasons.
Yeah.
One season, 13 episodes. The initial trailers for the series used Michael Keaton and Michelle Pfeiffer footage from Batman Returns, indicating that the series was to share a continuity with the Tim Burton films.
What?
That's bold. That's insane. That is bold. It's a sequel?
Yeah.
Did it... I don't know. Wow. This is like a question you absolutely can't answer. Did it remain a sequel?
Well,
or did it stop being a sequel when it was
released?
Did they
cast like an old Bruce Wayne? You're like, wait a minute.
That's Michael Keaton.
Michael Landon.
What's crazy as well is that then if Michael Keaton comes back in, say, Aquaman or The Flash.
The Flash.
Yeah.
That's confirmed.
Continuity.
Yes.
Is it confirmed or is it kind of like we're still unsure?
No, there was, from that year's Comic-Con, they made a painting. They had some like concept art that was clearly, they didn't show his likeness, but it was clearly the silhouette of the Michael Keaton, Tim Burton Batman alongside Ezra Miller's Flash, which is also bizarre because Michael Keaton was also, I believe, playing an older Bruce Wayne in Batgirl, correct?
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
So,
but they also filmed Aquaman. They filmed two Batmans.
Yeah. So Aquaman 2, I guess this is a spoiler, but it's too. No one is allowed to be that angry at us because it's way too interesting and wild to know this.
Yeah.
This won't ruin the movie. There is a Batman cameo currently filmed for Aquaman 2. They have filmed the same scene twice, one with Keaton, one with Affleck.
Wow.
Jason Momoa doesn't know which one they're using yet. The movie, at time of recording, comes out in 10 months.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And, so Flash, Michael Keaton is in, like, that. Yeah, the Batman
that's
in
locked
that.
In.
We've seen, there's also been toy leaks and stuff like that. Definitely happening. Mm. There is, in fact, even like a Flash suit in that movie that is the Batman, like Michael Keaton's Batman suit, but spray painted red, like from the comic books.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, okay, cool. Yeah, that makes all makes sense. Also, hasn't that movie been done?
Oh,
for
yeah,
like
apparently
4 years now.
Keeps getting changed though, like the ending of.
You gotta keep throwing good money after good. You got a money pit, you gotta fill it
every
up.
Every reshoot makes the film sweeter and better.
They call it a money pit because it's a pit that you put money in. Just makes sense.
You get the money later.
Yeah, don't trust banks with your money. Give it to the Flash.
Give it to the pit.
Yeah, so with the Flash, I think they've just changed bits and pieces constantly so that, like, I think the Flash was going to reboot the DC EU into a different DC EU that it is now going to reboot into.
Yes. Okay. It's still going to be a reboot device. And I think that's why they've had to keep it despite all the controversy surrounding Ezra Miller. Because they're like, this is our way into whatever we're doing next. Yeah. And it'll have Michael Keaton back as Batman in that molded rubber costume. We have to do it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And I suspect out of all of these, this also must be the one that is at least good enough that they feel like we'll do well at the box office. Because who stepped in before hiring James Gunn, who just came over from Discovery?
David Zaslav.
So Zaslav, he didn't blow that one up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And James Gunn is like, it's good. So I feel like it must be good enough.
Yeah.
They're like, we're not going to take this movie.
Yeah, gotta hope.
It is, I know.
But it's also like a load-bearing movie.
Yes.
Which is nuts because we've seen now, like no one is so invested in these past movies.
Yeah.
That we need to just start again.
Yeah, yeah. Start fresh.
Just do a Marvel Ultimate Universe and just go, okay, we're just starting. Yeah. Superman Legacy is number one. We're just going to, that's our Iron Man. You don't need to care about anything that came before. We're just going to go into it.
If they just had a press release or just like a statement just to be like, we muffed it.
Yeah.
We're doing it again. Don't worry about it.
Full Domino's Pizza.
The opening title card for the next film. What you've seen before, don't worry about it.
Yeah, forget it. But that's kind of the vibe that James Gunn came into this video with, where he's like, these movies are great. Don't get me wrong. The Flash is good. Aquaman 2 is good. But also, who cares?
Well,
not important. They're just
Talk about some monsters.
Yeah.
Well, there's just quickly, to put a cap in everything that's happened to lead up to this. I didn't even get through the list.
The first half of this podcast episode has kind of been like everything DC's done up until this point. This is the flashpoint of this episode. Yeah.
This is our 10-year
plan. Everything that's going to come after is going to be baseless speculation, chapter one, talks. Yeah. And talk too muchers. I don't know. It was bad. I need to punch it up a little bit. I didn't quite.
Yeah, it'll work. Right. That's all right. Well, all right. I just have one. Sorry, JD. I've got one more question. Crypto and the Super Dogs, or that animated film, is that still canon?
Is that canon? It does tease Black Adam at the end. So
it's canon to Black Adam.
It's canon.
Okay, cool. I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
There is a scene, that post-credit scene, if you haven't seen it, and I'm sure the internet spoke about it to death, is Superman and Crypto talking to Black Adam and Black Adam's dog. But Black Adam, Black Adam's dog, and Crypto are all voiced by The Rock.
Yeah.
Mm. So it's The Rock playing three characters. Yeah. And I can't remember who Superman is in the movie, but it's, yeah. So it's.
Do you reckon he's one of the only people who's played himself and his own dog in a movie? That must be so rare for such a thing to happen.
Yeah.
How often do you play a dog? How often do you play your own dog?
Well, Michael, have you ever played a dog?
I haven't played a dog, and I've had three dogs in my life that were mine, and I haven't played any of them either.
Yeah. That must be hard.
It must be hard to do. It
feels like a stretch to me.
basically, just to finish off this list of stuff that was in production and now isn't, they also announced a Suicide Squad 2, then they announced a Harley Quinn movie, then they announced a Joker movie, then another Joker movie. We got one of those Joker movies. A Lobo movie, which we'll get into because
it's maybe still coming.
Yeah. Green Lantern Corps TV show, which isn't coming, but a new one is.
Yeah.
And another Joker movie. So three Joker movies.
Wow.
But I think maybe Harley Quinn was one of the Joker movies.
Yeah, okay.
Also, another thing that the internet keeps talking about, and this ties directly into the James Gunn thing. So this is the prelude to chapter one, Base of Speculation.
Yeah.
James Gunn has said, with all of the movies that are coming out, that we're not necessarily rebooting those characters. So Shazam, Aquaman, Flash, and Blue Beetle, a movie that's definitely real and coming out.
All right.
James Gunn's like, oh, we're not sure what's going to happen with those characters going forward in the future. There will be space to them in the DCU. Now, a lot of people have been like, that's confusing. And here, I'm here to break the ice for you.
Untangle
if
this.
You were told that a movie that's coming out does not matter to a series, you're less likely to watch it. If you think it might be relevant, you're going to go see it.
Yeah, exactly.
Is Ezra Miller coming back? Probably not.
I
but
doubt
see
it.
The Flash.
Still see our movie.
But can't you also see a world where they're like, well, we have these actors in contracts for 10 movies.
Yeah.
Where they'll get pulled through whatever multiverse reboot happens, the crisis, you know, the crisis flashpoint.
Yeah.
And then they'll come out still playing the characters, but playing like new versions of the characters.
It's, yeah.
I think it's possible. There was also talks, James Gunn, like with Jason Momoa, where he's like, Jason Momoa will now, and I guess maybe we'll talk about this later, but will now be Lobo. So maybe not even coming out playing the same characters, but coming out playing brand new characters. Or maybe in the case of Ezra Miller, maybe they don't really want to be associated with them anymore. And so they maybe won't come out at the time.
Maybe Ezra doesn't get cast as any character. It's fine.
Yeah. Or, yeah, I mean, who knows, honestly. But, yeah.
Listen to the 48 Hours podcast for shocking murder cases and compelling real-life dramas from one of television's most watched true crime shows. Go behind the scenes of each episode with award-winning CBS News correspondents and producers in Postmortem, a weekly deep dive. Listen to 48 Hours wherever you get your podcasts.
Inspired by the life of the savvy and ambitious Colombian businesswoman Griselda Blanco comes a new Netflix original limited series. Griselda tells the story of a devoted mother who, with her lethal blend of charm and relentless savagery, creates one of the most powerful cartels in history. Witness Sofia Vergara's captivating transformation into the godmother of the underworld. Griselda, streaming January 25th, only on Netflix.
Chapter 1, DCU Chapter 1, Gods and Monsters.
Yeah.
DC Comics Chapter 1, Gods and Monsters. DCEU Chapter 1. Yeah. It's an interesting title because I feel like the monster stuff seems very clear.
Yes.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Creature
the monster
commandos.
Stuff seems very clear and feels very James Gunn. And I think that's the stuff that I'm most excited about because of his like trauma background, his sense of humor. So I can see things like Swamp Thing and the Monster Society. Is that what it's called? What's the animated monster one with like the
Creature Commandos?
Creature Commandos.
Frankenstein's got an army.
That I kind of like that they're pulling from unconventional stuff or a little bit stuff that's a little bit weirder because I feel like James Gunn obviously is going to gravitate towards that. The gods part feels interesting because I feel like that's what Snyder was really doing, was being like, oh, these heroes are like gods. They're gods. And especially that Justice League cut. So I kind of feel like that's a little bit like we've been there, done that.
Well, yeah.
So I was surprised that that was the name of this
I wonder
first phase.
If it's just like, you know, like with these like superhero movies where they often like bring from an arc or whatever, or like a famous comic for the title of their movie. Maybe they're just kind of thin on the ground at the moment. And they were like, Gods and Monsters is one people know. Let's just chuck that in for the moment.
Yeah, we own the IP already and some graphic design for that. We can trademark that.
Yeah,
Justice League, Gods and Monsters. Yeah,
that it kind
of
works.
I mean, Marvel does that all the time. They did it with Civil War. They did it with Age of Ultron.
Absolutely,
they're constantly taking like stuff. Secret War is coming up. I mean, like you know, and rarely do the movies.
Yeah,
are they strict adaptations of the storylines?
Yeah, well, it could 100%. Also be that they've gone gods and monsters, because another thing that DC need to do, and James Gunn has been copping it for the, like, 6 weeks he's been in charge, is you got the Snyder fans that you do need to try and please somehow.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
So, it could have just been like, look, we're still continuing, like, what Zack sort of
started.
Please stop screaming at me on
Twitter.
Please
be kind.
That being said, I will just say real quickly, James Gunn off to a wild start, because the day after this, or like a couple of hours after, started a Twitter poll saying, should Superman wear trunks? And then immediately followed it up with, I will not be using this. It's just like a little fun I'm doing. But like, don't ask a Twitter poll.
Yeah,
like,
I know. Because then when Superman comes out with no trunks, everyone who voted for trunks is going to be like, the movies don't listen to me.
Okay, so you know how we're in a constant state of chaos and fighting for our lives every single day on this godforsaken earth? Between work and everything else falling apart around me, I have not had it together enough to meal prep or plan dinner, or honestly function like a normal human being most weeknights. Cooking something good is hard, and I deserve a modicum of joy every now and again. That's why I've turned to Omaha Steaks. My freezer is full. That's sorted. It is genuinely the one part of my life running smoothly. Real steaks, burgers, seafood, chicken, sides, all shipped to my door. So even on the nights where everything else is on fire, dinner isn't one more thing to stress about. I made the burgers the other night, didn't even have the energy to think, just pulled them out, threw them on the grill, and they tasted like something from an actual steakhouse. Somehow, the one corner of my life that's together is the one I didn't even have to think about. If you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the easiest way in. 20 premium steak burgers across 5 cuts. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's right, BEEF. B-E-E-F. omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
Anymore.
James, let's just avoid the Twitter, okay? I feel this has maybe backfired before.
It's very just stay off
play Twitter.
It's dead anyway. Twitter.
It's pretty easy. It's fun. It's fun. Yeah. Just get your app on and just delete.
Tweet about just, I don't know, eating a sandwich.
I tweeted about being a baby the other day, smoking a cigarette. It was awesome. That's what Twitter's for.
That can't backfire.
That can't at all backfire.
But yeah, at time of record, actually the poll's done, so I can tell you what the result
was. Who's winning, trunks or no trunks? First of all, what do you vote for, everybody in this room? What are we thinking?
Trunks.
Just go whatever.
But like shorts, not underwear.
Like boxer brief trunks, maybe. Yeah. Like trunks.
So 493,000 people voted. Trunks won 59% to 41%.
Yeah.
So
go trunks.
Yeah. But now it's just like a...
Yeah.
Because now if you put trunks in the movie, people are going to be like, you said the Twitter poll didn't matter, but clearly it did. But then if you go no trunks now and people find that, they're going to be like, you don't listen to the fans.
He set himself up to fail.
Absolutely.
It's real good.
Right. Real good stuff. Creature Commandos, first thing announced. Wild start. Awesome. It will also be the first thing that comes out.
Which, is it a TV show or a movie?
It's a seven
animated
part animated TV series.
Sweet.
Every episode's written by James Gunn and is currently in production.
Cool. Mm.
Then you get Waller, as in Amanda Waller.
I guess she has been the most consistent part of the DCEU up to this point.
And like, if you get rid of the first Suicide Squad and just focus on Gunn's Suicide Squad and then Peacemaker. Real good.
Yeah, great character.
She's also in
Amanda
Black
Waller
Adam.
In Peacemaker's great.
She's in Black Adam.
You forget that, though. Once again.
Is she bad in Black Adam? She's a bad in Black Adam.
I mean, but she's hardly in Black Adam. And you know what? Don't worry about it.
She's there to be like, Black Adam, damn, you're cool. Anyway.
Yeah.
Have a good one.
I agree, Black Adam. Everyone should drink the Rock's tequila.
It makes sense. I guess I'm like looking for the, what she's analogous to in the MCU. And I guess it would be like, that's your Nick Fury, right?
Yeah.
That's your boss of the superheroes. So that's like giving Nick Fury his own movie, which makes sense.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know?
Lots of people were clamoring.
And also,
for
like,
that
again, a little, I like that they're going a little bit left of field with some of these. Now, some of them are obvious, which you'll get to, but like, I like that they're coming in the side door a little bit here.
Absolutely.
And yeah, with like Creature Commandos, you can kind of get like some weird shit we haven't really seen before. Mm-hmm. And then with Wally, you're like, okay, cool. We're sort of more delving into sort of what was sort of hinted at in Peacemaker.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's going to be really cool. A spin-off of Peacemaker, but there is still Peacemaker Season 2 coming. So it's almost going to end up being kind of like the Book of Boba Fett, I guess.
Whoa, cool.
Where so like, there's going to be, she's going to be riding a Rancor monster at the end.
Oh, yeah. Yes. She's going to be in a Bacta tank for ages, being like having to think about her life.
Bacta tanks looks like they'd be so fucking comfortable.
I'd kill for a Bacta tank. Let's go take a Bacta tank nap
just
right
fix
now.
Fix my shit right up, dude.
Yeah.
I'd get out and be like, my spine might be fixed. That like no aches or pains.
I imagine just like
refreshed.
My head poking you at the top of the Bacta tank, and I'm like, someone bring me a juice. And they bring me a juice, and I just. With the straw, and they're like, thank you, I'm done, and they take it away.
And then you go back in and put the mask back on, and you're just floating in the back to tank, or do you want to be your head above the water the whole time?
I may have not remember what a back to tank looks like.
It's just the... like, poke your head out, mask off, give me like a, feed me a sandwich, put me
do
back
you
in.
Have like a rubber cover to the back to tank?
No.
That's your next
No.
What are you imagining?
You know, like an above ground pool?
Yeah.
So like that, but with a rubber cover that has a neck hole, and I'm sticking out the neck hole.
That sounds really bad.
That sounds not a thing. Interesting. Are you thinking of like a one man infrared sauna you can buy?
Yeah, I might be getting a back to tank confused with a single use single person sauna.
Just or just a tanning bed.
Yeah. Sweet back to tank. Sweet.
Well, that'd
back
be great
tan.
If in Book of Boba Fett he was just tanning that whole time. Yeah. Like you find out that like Boba Fett just like when he's feeling real rough, he just takes a tan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Steps out, bronze god, little speedos, ready for space.
So Walla will also feature other members of the Peacemaker crew, which makes sense. Okay. Probably the staff side of things. Would not be shocked if Mr. Peacemaker himself
makes a little appearance. Yeah,
John Cena's in Melbourne currently.
What? Get him on the show.
I don't know.
What's he doing?
Well, Michael.
Yeah,
he's,
okay.
He's
better
very,
than John Cena. That's
he's
true.
He's our very own John Cena.
Guys, I'm the best in the biz. I'm that's the true. Best in the biz.
Yeah,
that's true.
The only guy I've ever seen that has a better physique than John Cena.
Yeah.
That's right. Gotta look a little close, but it's there.
Then they start mixing TV shows and movies. Like, the Superman movie gets announced at this point, too, which is the third project they're releasing, but James Gunn describes it as the true start to Chapter One. I guess there must be a clause in the DC announcement slate that it's got to be a little bit confusing.
Yeah. Gotta throw you off just a touch.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's like Creature Commandos and Walla. Creature Commandos feels very self-contained and weird, and Walla feels like
animated.
And it's animated, exactly. And Walla feels like it's leading on from that kind of those transitionary, like, DC properties.
Yeah.
You know, Peacemaker, James Gunn's Suicide Squad.
Also, I would bet good money that Waller, Creature Commandos were already in development. I bet you they'd already, since Suicide Squad and Peacemaker, when whatever deal James Gunn made when he came over to make Peacemaker, probably pitched those other projects as well.
Yeah,
I bet you're
right. He was like, I bet the deal was like, we're going to do some Suicide Squad spinoffs, which were Peacemaker and Waller. And then he was like, also, I want to do something with they were probably like, here are a bunch of properties we want to turn into an animated series. Pick one. And he's like, oh, duh, Creature Commandos.
Yeah.
So I bet that was already cooking when they hired him to take over. So they're like, you get to keep the stuff that you were already making for us in HBO Max. And then when he says this is the true start, I bet that's when they went, all right, now we're kicking off new ideas.
Yeah.
Going beyond just the ones that I had when I came over to make Peacemaker.
Yeah.
Plus, it is like Superman Legacy is the first one, right?
But not the first release. It's the third.
Not the first release? Sorry. Yeah. The first release is the
Creature Commandos.
But not theatrical, though. So the,
not the theatrical.
Superman Legacy is the first theatrical release.
That's true. It is the first theatrical.
Under movies.
So is it kind of like Disney Plus shit, where it's just like, sure, you can watch the TV series, but who cares? Here's a film.
Yeah.
But another thing that was announced here is that James Gunn wants the DCU to feel totally united. And one thing that he wants to do is anyone who does voices for animated characters. Say there's a live action counterpart. So let's just hypothetically say Batman as voiced by Ben Affleck in the animated series, they will be using Ben Affleck.
Yeah, that's fine.
Which I love.
I think that's
cohesive.
Right.
Because That this to me sounds more like the way their Lucasfilm is doing, like the Star Wars universe, where the animated series and obviously the Disney Plus stuff really do count with what's going on. I think in, I mean, now there's not even any movies to speak of. Yeah, but,
it's kind of old TV now.
But I love it. I love it, and it always bugged me when I was a kid. I love it now when, you know, you're watching, let's say, Star Wars Resistance, and Oscar Isaac is there as Poe Dameron, and they've got, like, but then you tell, like, oh, this Kylo Ren is a fake Kylo. This isn't Adam Driver. Yeah. So I like that they're going to do, I'm very excited about that. That's the way it should be done.
Yeah, 100%. Like, if you look at the What If stuff that, you know, Disney put out.
I was going to use this as an example of sometimes it doesn't go 100% to plan, because there is a couple of actors, which I will not name.
Yeah.
Mostly because I don't know who Michael's friends with.
Probably. I don't think anybody in the MCU.
Okay. No, there's a couple of actors in the MCU, in What If in particular, where their voice acting, it's like you can tell they're in a booth and the tone and stuff like that does not match at all.
That's a shame.
There's a line in the first episode where a certain character says, "Hey, who ordered the calamari?" And it's the weirdest line delivery maybe in the entire world.
Can I hear
it?
Can I hear your go of it?
No, it's just like there's a fight that happens, and it's meant to be kind of dark.
By the way, you can share your opinion and who this character is and all, actor and all this stuff.
Sebastian Stan.
Okay, yeah.
That's my friend Sebastian. What are you talking
about? Dude, Seb, my good friend,
I forgot he's in all those movies.
He's my friend too, dude.
Yeah, I know. He's all of our friends. That's actually the real reason I didn't want to say his name.
Yeah.
He's going to be calling me.
What's the line delivered?
He's just like, "Hey, who ordered the calamari?" But it's after they've just had a big fight, and it's like,
"Hey, who ordered the calamari?" Is it like that?
Yeah.
How long's the pause between "hey" and "who"?
I don't think it's not even...
"Hey, who ordered the calamari?"
"Hey, I'm walking
How
here,
How long
kind
does
of.
He hold on?"
20 minutes, the whole
who
episode.
"Who ordered the calamari?" Does he go a little Italian?
No, it's not
who
Italian.
"Who ordered the calamari?"
It's not Italian. It's just like... It just sounds like, maybe over the phone or maybe...
Yeah, good stuff.
Wasn't given the rest of the script.
Just that line.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for coming in, Sebastian. We just got one line for you today.
Oh, yeah, there's one more line. We need you to say, "Hey, who ordered the calamari?"
Sebastian like, "Is this, am I in a restaurant?" Or, we don't know.
Yeah, we don't. He's like, maybe just say it like you're in a restaurant. And then in the episode, it's after Carter has just killed a... Yeah. Giant Nazi squid thing.
Hey, who ordered the calamari?
So I wasn't listening to that last bit. We're doing an ad, right? Hey, who ordered the calamari?
Or they just tell them the line and he goes, "Hey, who ordered the calamari?" "All right, guys, I'm out." "Wait, wait. We have a..." "Nope, that was it. Bye. I gave you the line. I'm out."
"I meant to go meet up with my good friends Joel Jackson and Michael for lunch." I can't record another line.
I remember that day.
Yeah, it was a good
And then he shows up at lunch and goes, "Hey, who ordered the calamari?"
We're like, oh.
That was it.
Beautiful. That was it.
Beautiful.
Then, Superman Legacy, July 11, 2025, written by Gunn. Gunn's like, "We haven't got a director yet." But even Peter Safran, his like that other head of DC, is like, "I'd love James Gunn to direct it."
Okay.
Yeah, so probably going to direct it. But again, this kind of makes sense. Even though they're using like actors and like the same actors if they're voice acting and everything like that, I still think they're just going to have like, You can watch everything, but it kind of all makes sense. So,
Well, it'll be wild because if they do the reverse, so anyone that gets cast in Creature Commandos, if they want to pop up in live action, then they'll be playing those characters.
Yeah, 100%. That is interesting.
That'd be great.
I was just thinking, like with some of those Creature Commandos, like the characters are so grotesque.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
The Suicide Squad features a giant squid jump into their eyeball.
Wouldn't it suck if you were one of those actors that got cast in Creature Commandos and one by one you saw all of the other actors cross over into the like live action, but you just never get the call?
Yeah. When will Frankenstein be in the DCU?
He's missing
Michael,
for some reason.
Soon, one day, he'll be there. Don't worry about it.
You'll get a movie. We'll just quickly announce your movie. It's coming in 2040.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you're too old now. I'm sorry.
Frankenstein CGI. Go home.
You can actually, don't bother coming into the booth. If you just want to give us a call, we can do the line read over the phone.
You have one line. It's "Who ordered?"
"Hey, who ordered calamari?"
Perfect. And this, without any context, and this is if this is the first time you're hearing it, this is going to sound bonkers.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get another movie called The Authority, which is Wildstorm characters will join the DCU as members of The Authority, who take matters into their own hands to do what they believe is right.
Alrighty. Let's... Good.
Who are Wildstorm?
Well, there's Wildstorm characters, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Is Wildstorm...
No,
like...
Wildstorm is like an arm of DC, like an imprint sort of thing.
It, but was originally an was with DC with Image Comics.
Oh, okay.
It was Jim Lee. Jim Lee's studio was Wildstorm, and they did a bunch of stuff for Image. And then he sold Stormwatch, or sorry, excuse me. Yeah, wait, no. What was it called?
Wildstorm?
Stormwatch was a Wildstorm comic book. It's very confusing. And the predecessor to The Authority. So Jim Lee then made a deal to come over to DC, left Image, brought his Wildstorm characters, because he owned all of those. That was the whole deal with Image. You get to own all your characters. Sold that library of characters to DC Comics.
Okay.
And then when DC did the new 50, and they kind of ran as their, like, I think for a little while, as their own, like, little independent, not independent, but, like, they weren't part of the DC universe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then when the new 52 came along and rebooted the comic book universe, again, the comics even have a history of just,
I mean,
constant reboots,
it's classic DC.
Continuity, craziness. Then the Authority got brought in, all the other Wildstorm characters got put into the DC universe, which for the Authority, for me, never made much sense because they were supposed to be a Justice League like team with a Batman and a Superman called the Midnighter and Apollo who were lovers. And it was supposed to be, if there wasn't a Justice League, if only these guys were those superheroes out there, what would they do in a real world setting to solve global terrorism, solve poverty, solve starvation? But they're all dysfunctional, and so it's kind of got a little bit more in common with, say, something like the Watchmen
than
it does Justice League. It's supposed to be like a dark twist on
it. It's going to be very weird if we are starting this universe with
Watchmen. Basically.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, if we're starting this new DCU with, it feels really good to say DCU. If that was the only change, I'd be so happy. Yeah. with either the Justice League having not already formed,
because
I don't know what, if they're going to be doing, like, we're introducing all of these characters as though they're already in the universe, which kind of feels like maybe they will be.
Yeah.
Or if there is a Justice League, and then, exactly. If they're like, and here's the Authority, the bad Justice League.
It's like Gods and Monsters, right? The whole kind of thing's going to be like, who you think are gods are actually monsters, you think are monsters are really gods.
Hey, there you go.
Absolute,
I like
utter
it.
Fucking childhood wank there. You're just like, it's just so simple, you know what I mean? It's going to be very basic, and that's basically, I think, what's going to be almost like the theme of this whole chapter. We love the Authority. And then they're going to be like, they're very authoritarian and, they're doing
Swamp
some stuff.
Swamp Thing's a monster, but he's actually a god.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Whoa. Swamps are awesome.
Yeah. Frankenstein, secretly a god.
Just a monster.
Who ordered the calamari in heaven?
Yeah, I think it's quite scary. It's going to be, I think that is going to be the main thing.
Yeah,
unless
I think you're right,
through they sort of do, they could also do the reverse start of Invincible and have the Authority kill someone.
Oh, yeah.
And then that's like kind of like
why they need the Justice League.
Yeah.
It would be crazy if they're like, there was a bad Justice League that the good Justice League had to form to stop. Wild.
The only thing that stops a bad Justice League is a good Justice League. Come on.
Bad Justice League versus good Justice League. Dawn of both Justice Leagues.
Then we get a movie that's pretty exciting because it features everyone's favorite piece of shit son, Damian Wayne. And we're getting a Robin in a live action movie for the first time in a million years. The Brave and the Bold. The DCU will introduce its Batman and Robin in this unusual father-son dynamic as made famous by Grant Morrison's comic series.
So it's going to be Damian Wayne specifically?
Yeah. Which is also then, now we have a Batman who has a clearly long history of living as Batman in whatever this universe is, because Damian's the third Robin. So that again is like, okay, I guess we're just done. doing the Batman Year One thing, which is understandable.
Yeah, if you want that, you've got Pat Fleck, I guess.
I also liked the Damian Wayne stuff when it was Dick Grayson's Batman, because Dick Grayson was such a upbeat, cool guy. Like, he was like a positive Batman, that when you pair him with a dark-minded Robin, that dynamic balances out really well. Because Robin was always supposed to be the bright spot to Batman's darkness. So I kind of wish they were like, it's Dick Grayson taking over and he's going to deal with this like bratty
Dick
little
Grayson's
brother.
Grayson's Batman? I know they kind of said they're doing a father-son thing, but could this be like a red herring or
maybe
like, hey, we're actually going to do
I mean,
that?
Maybe, but I think it'll be...
I like little stink of Damian Wayne, though. Yeah. He's got little stinker energy, and I appreciate that.
I can see them being like, oh, I'm Batman, and I've got my shit together, and now I've got to train my little bratty son that I never knew I had. That works as a movie, you know?
Yeah.
I wonder if Superman Legacy will also be about Superman and his little boy?
No, it's Superman early in his career.
Shit.
But it's not an origin story.
No John L. No John L in this one.
Damn it.
No. It's apparently him kind of coming to terms, like trying to balance being a Kryptonian and being a guy.
Oh, yeah.
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 Spoiler alert, dude, you're basically just a guy.
Yeah. It's hard because, like, as Terrans, but also as just like regular guys, we got to, like, you know, it's a balance.
It is. Yeah. It is.
Because we are aliens to other planets.
That's true. If I went to Krypton, I would be pitied.
You'd be a monster.
I would be like a reverse Superman situation. I'd be like, I'm weakened by your
presence. Just always drunk and vomiting. Like, you're just like, you get there and like their red sun, it just makes you like weak. Yeah. And
your
planet
makes me sick. Can't walk. Everything's heavy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I'm unable to open doors. Trying to think of the opposite of able to leap a tall building in a single bound or whatever. That's slower than a rock.
Like, you like can squish yourself under doors really slowly.
Yeah.
Like the Blob.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just rolling around Krypton.
The Krypton atmosphere is slowly turning you into a paste. So you're just in constant pain.
Send me home.
No.
Stop raising me.
Try doing all that while juggling just being a regular guy. Yeah,
I'm just a regular man.
It's hard.
I'm just, I got a reporting job. I'm reporting for the Daily Planet. That's me.
Then the next movie off the ranks. Actually, let's jump back into TV series because there's a couple more here as well.
Yeah.
We've got Lanterns.
Nice. Which is apparently going to be like True Detective.
True Detective Black Mystery.
What? True Detective with magic rings.
I think, they're going to uncover a possibly occult pedophilic circle in the Deep South.
Cool.
That sounds awesome.
I mean, Yellow King. Jordan's ring doesn't work against yellow, so...
That's wild.
If they are dealing with occult shit on, like, an alien planet, or even just an occult shit on, like, Earth kind of thing, that would be kind of cool.
Some cult worshipping Sinestro.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
They're like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Or Despero.
Set it in, like, the bayou.
Because all of the Lanterns do have a connection to what is effectively, like, a cosmic god.
Mm. Yeah.
So, like, it's built in, but I wonder
if
that's...
They are a cult.
Yeah. But I wonder if that's what...
Guys, what if the Chapter 2 is called DC Chapter 2 Cults and Cops?
Whoa!
And they're trying to figure out who are cops and who are cult members. Because some of the cult members turn out to be cops, but some of the cops are definitely cultists.
That does happen.
that does happen.
That's true to life.
So that's Hal Jordan and Jon Stewart.
Yep.
Then we get another series, which this one's also kind of a surprise, Paradise Lost, which is a Game of Thrones-style series set on Wonder Woman's home nation, Themyscira, which will explore how the Society of Women came about.
Okay.
Yeah. Interesting.
That could be fun.
It could be cool. Could be their Andor. You know what I mean?
Like
British intrigue drama, Game of Thrones type thing. You know.
Yeah.
I hope it works out. I feel like often when a show pitches itself as a sort of Game of Thrones style show, it's not very good. I feel like it's a weird thing to sort of pit yourself against. So
yeah,
I hope
instant
I hope
comparison.
It works out. Yeah,
I think
I'm trying. I'm looking at the slate as well. I think maybe even like if lanterns are doing this sort of you know, occultish or whatever is on Earth, that might link to Swamp Thing.
Oh yeah, probably like, will,
because if the Swamp Thing is also dealing with all of that bullshit,
yeah.
Maybe they kind of link
the green, the red, the rot, yeah. All that
the
stuff.
Yellow.
Yeah,
it is pretty funny that a lot of the stuff they announced, they were just like, here's a HBO show and we're making superhero version.
Yeah, that is what they did. That's true.
You've missed Booster Gold, Jake.
Well, this is the last one on my list.
Yeah. Oh, never mind.
So there's a TV series about Booster Gold, a character study of superhero-dom as imposter syndrome. And there's an actor already in the talks.
Well, Booster Gold and Blue Beetle are like best friends, but yeah. Blue Beetle's a fake movie, so
yeah.
How are they going to wrangle that?
Booster Gold from the future.
Also, I think it's the second Blue Beetle that's a teenage boy.
That's
it's
true.
Not the Ted Williams.
Okay.
What's his name? What's
I don't
Blue
know.
Beetle's? It's Ted something.
Mm.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm losing my comic cred here.
Oh, yeah.
I never knew.
Yeah, the longer it takes you to find this out, the less and less published your comic is. They're fading from the shelves.
It's like the end of Back to the Future.
Ted Kord with a K. Theodore Stephen Kord is the second Blue Beetle. Oh, yeah, so then there's the third Blue Beetle who's like a teenage kid.
And that's the one this fake movie's that's coming out definitely going to be about.
I think so, because that was like he's the more modern one.
Yeah, okay.
And that Blue Beetle movie that's...
Jamie Reyes, I think, is the third one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that apparently is only very loosely connected to the DCU, and James Gunn said that, and then said, which means if you like it, we'll just tie it in. So that's good.
Yeah.
Okay. It's nice to be upfront about it.
Tighten that loose knot, now it's part of it.
And then the final two movies of this announcement is Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That's an origin story where Supergirl gets a real fucked up raised. Like,
yeah, she gets a bad childhood as opposed to the Kent childhood.
So I think the story is, because it's based on the Tom Kim comic, and if my memory serves me right, it's like a chunk of Krypton when Krypton explodes, floats into space with Krypton on it.
Yeah.
She's on that for 14 years and just pretty much watches everyone she knows and loves die.
What are the odds of her being Superman's cousin?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Krypton's big.
I know. Well, her dad was Jor-El's brother and the only one that listened to him and was like, we got to get out of here.
Guess that makes sense.
Yeah. And then finally, Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
Mm. Movie or show?
Movie.
Movie. Cool.
Interesting. Swamp Thing, obviously... My lesser favorite of the things that live in swamps.
Oh, I was going to say things that live in slums, because I was going to be like, where does the thing, like...
You want me to rank the things?
Yeah.
So Man-Thing number one, Thing from the Addams Family number two.
Uh-huh.
The ever-loving blue-eyed Thing.
Yeah.
Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
Ever-loving blue-eyed Thing is number one in my book.
Man-Thing, though.
Man-Thing.
He's living
Man-Thing.
Swamp.
Yeah, and he doesn't know what's going on.
And he's just trying to juggle being a man.
He's trying to be a man and being a thing.
Being a man and being a thing, it's tough.
At least, you know, the ever-loving blue-eyed Thing has just accepted no man, just Thing.
Yeah, that's true.
The ever-loving blue-eyed Thing is like, I'm bricks.
I get it. I'm bricks. That's crazy that Man-Thing, the guy that doesn't know what's happening ever, is the only one who's like, man. No, you're not.
The least human-looking one of them all.
Yeah. I'm the man thing. And man thing should be swamp thing. Swamp thing should be man thing.
Yeah, which is why I think everyone gets confused to which one you love. Because the moment this was announced, I'm sure you're...
Oh, yeah, I've already received messages from people being like, oh my God, Jackson, are you excited? Yeah, no. But not for the reason you think.
And yeah, the description of the Swamp Thing movie is, the film will investigate the dark origins of Swamp Thing.
Okay.
Awesome.
Sounds like a good idea for the first Swamp Thing movie.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I really do think, I think the Lanterns one, if it's going to be this kind of like, you know, based on True Detective somehow, and if it's going to be that kind of thing, I think they're going to be linked with Swamp Thing. How interlinked do you reckon any of these are all going to be?
That's a good question.
Do you reckon there's going to be like, oh, well, you know, Swamp Thing is linked with Lanterns, but there's going to be a reference in Lanterns about like this cult that everyone is worshipping is actually like, you know, based off, you know, Themyscira, which kind of leads into Paradise Lost.
I think it's going to be like that. I think you're right. I think it's going to be, because they said that there is something, a mystery that ties into the larger workings with, but I would definitely say there's got to be some sort of like Swamp Thing crossover there.
Yeah.
But my guess is it's got to be something interstellar, like some bigger cosmic thing where like the cult is worshiping some sort of alien, like you said, like alien god or Despero or something like that, that they'll it'll be self-contained on Earth, but it'll point to a larger cosmic cult.
Maybe,
you know what I mean? Something
awesome
like that.
If they're like, it's Darkseid. Like, just bring Darkseid in straight away.
Straight away.
That or Parallax. You know, it would be something like that where they're like worshiping a guy. You know, they're part of a cult where there's like a killer, but he's got Parallax in his mind. You know what I mean? And then Parallax will be one of these elemental god things that's connected to like whatever created Swamp Thing. And so at some point, we're all going to be fighting the gods and monsters of the DCU are going to have to go up against like the elder gods of the DCU, which are like all these big elemental things.
I really hope by having everything happening in a universe that's already really quite established, they won't feel the need to have everything so interlocked like the MCU did kind of early on. You know what I mean?
Well,
the MCU did a good job of not doing that.
Well, early on it did. Sorry, I misspoke. I mean, like at the moment, I guess. So I hope that they could just be like, well, it's a Batman story. You know Superman's there, and where logically Superman would intersect with these characters, he will.
Yeah.
But we're not going to try and make an effort to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I hope that happens.
Because I'm thinking it might just have, like, you know, you get these introductions to all these kind of people. Creature Commandos is like some weird stuff going on. They might now tie it a bit more, considering, I think, you know, you're right, Michael, that these were probably in development before all this sort of came into fruition. And then I think with Booster Gold, because he's a future lad, right?
I think so.
So is that going to be a sort of like he comes back from the future and he's like, hey, you got to, the things are bad. We got to do X to save Y.
They
sort of thing. Like,
do
save the
that
to save
in
the world.
One of the comic stories. I think the series 52, which came out after the 52. And I think, I don't remember this very well. I think Greg Rucka was one of the writers on it. But I think there was something where Booster Gold had some really important information for all the DC heroes, but he couldn't remember all of it, like something about the time jump. So it was like a memento thing where he was trying to go back and figure out, wait, why did I come here? What was I supposed to warn them about? But the pitch, James Gunn said, he's a loser in the future who comes back in time and uses future tech to pass as a superhero and become like super popular.
Okay.
That's cool. Okay. Yeah. I look, honestly, this slate of movies is way more interesting than I expected it to be.
I got a question for you.
Shoot.
Is the actor they're talking to play Booster Gold Nathan Fillion?
Is Nathan Fillion
too old?
Too old.
I don't know, but remember he's been also like they shot stuff for him to be Wonder Man, Simon Williams. He's got these like between James Gunn and Joss Whedon in Avengers, like they started planting seeds for Simon Williams, and then James Gunn shot him as Simon Williams for Volume 2.
Yeah,
and he's in, isn't he in Suicide Squad? He's in Suicide Squad.
He's the Wolfman.
Yeah, so
MDK.
Yeah.
And he is basically Booster Gold is the DCU's Simon Williams. He's like an actor. He's like a guy. So I could see if they decide he's not too old to play the part.
Yeah, they could. Well,
he's good casting for that character.
Yeah. And also fandoms have been screaming for 15 years at this point to get in fan cast and stuff. So,
Well, again, if you look at like what Sony is doing and they're hanging their whole like, you know, film franchise that is Morbius off a 51-year-old man.
That's true.
And then also what Sony is doing and being like, you know who one of our big villains needs to be is 71-year-old man. Nathan Fillion is only 51.
Yeah, exactly.
That's young.
That's young for superhero movies for some reason.
How old was Robert Downey Jr. when he was cast as Tony Stark?
He would have been late 40s.
Late 40s?
So at least.
Downey Jr. is 57 now.
He's 57 now. Okay, so he's mid-40s.
Yeah.
Okay, so not that much younger.
Yeah, not really. Yeah.
And look,
43. He was 43 in the first Iron Man.
Robert Downey Jr. at 43 had lived
a life.
Yeah, he'd lived one hell of a life up until that point. So his 43 is probably Nathan Fillion's 56. So really, Nathan Fillion's
perfect guy to hang the franchise on.
I didn't think he was that young. That's younger than I am now. That's wild. Boy, guys, my career sucks. I gotta get out of here. I gotta go get in one of these DC movies.
Yeah, you gotta start doing some auditions for Booster Gold.
Yeah, maybe you just be Booster Gold.
Get in talks. Yeah.
Well, so who would your ideal, if you were to be in any of the DC films, who would you love to sink your teeth into?
Ooh, that's a really... I've thought about it on the Marvel side. I mean, I always wanted to be Peter Parker, and now I could be like older, washed up Peter Parker, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
But DC's a good... I've always felt like I was like a good candidate for like a Barry Allen, maybe one of the Flashes, maybe like a Jay Garrick at this point. Let's be honest. You know, I'm too... it's weird because there's really like no middle-aged men in comic books. They're either like young... men in their like 20s or early 30s, or they're all gray haired silver foxes. You know what I mean? They're all, or they're just like old supporting characters like J. Jonah Jameson or something. So I don't know. Matt Blue, the Ted Kord Blue Beetle, I could do that.
Yeah.
I'd be, I think I would be good at is the Night Owl from Watchmen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
he's got a little bit of a dad bod. You know, he's got a little bit of the belly. He's a little bit out. I could do that.
Well, I mean, if you got Marvel money and like Marvel backing behind you, you could be shredded.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
But also,
get, like, just absolutely buff.
For a DC role for you, Michael, and look, this is kind of going the opposite way. You probably need to develop a drinking problem for maybe 6 to 12 months before this audition.
Done.
You could be a Mr. Miracle if you just make yourself a little rougher.
Hey, oh, I like that. Mr. Miracle. Yeah, good. Yeah, great. Love it.
Yeah.
Lock
it in, guys. Start the campaign.
Yeah. Well done.
Great. We figured it out.
He's actually, Mr. Miracle would be a character that would slot into the universe that it seems like they're establishing pretty easily now.
Absolutely. But I like that it seems like they're kind of waiting until they explore that. Like,
I bet they pull a lot. I bet James Gunn is a big Tom King fan. I bet they pull a lot from Tom King's stuff. I bet that's the tone they're going to kind of go with these new movies, is like a little offbeat, quirky, a little bit quirkier takes on these mainstream characters. Like, how would being Superman fuck with your head a little bit?
Absolutely.
I think that's what it's going to be, because otherwise, because that's kind of what James Gunn's going to bring to the table, I think.
Yeah.
And that's a way to, like, tonally set them apart from the MCU as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Brave and the Bold seems like it's also definitely going to do that. Like, even if you've got, like, the Superman that's, like, if they keep him as, like, a beacon where he's, like, it's just, like, a fun movie where he's a pillar of...
goodness.
Good.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, you're going to have like Brave and the Bold around the corner anywhere. It's like, what's having your dad who's Batman going to do to your mental health?
Right.
Fuck it? Yeah.
Wreck your life?
Because you have like the Authority. That's the dark and gritty kind of like.
Yeah.
True.
Put all that into.
And then like in the Batman one, it's like if your son is like a shit talking assassin who doesn't want to like follow your orders, that's great.
Yeah. Absolutely. What does that do to your mental health?
Yeah.
I have one rule, son, no killing, and you're an assassin, so you fucked me here.
Yeah, exactly.
I did.
That's fun. Yes. That's a good, I said no killing. That's totally what that movie should be.
Absolutely.
Please, like, Dad, can I just shoot him once in the head?
Yeah. My boy's annoying.
And then they could have Deathstroke come in, and Damian could be like, I wish he was my dad, because he'll let me kill people.
Whoa. Yeah.
Bring your friend Joe in again.
Yeah, get Joe back in there.
The first movie to feature dad cocking. That's all we're going to get. That can't be the first movie. Daddy's Home is Dad Cocking.
We had an entire film.
Two
franchise.
Movies about dad cocking and then grandpa cocking.
I was going to say, that's the other weird thing is Bad Grandpa is also now part of this new DC. That got folded in.
Yeah.
And Daddy Daycare is also folded in.
Yeah.
It's a daddy. It's the DCU daddy cinematic universe.
All the Warner Brother daddy movies are now part of this as well. Just to humanize it a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's also great news for you because there'll be a lot of middle-aged men parts available.
That's what we need. Finally. Which of these dads are gods and which of them are monsters? Surprise, not who you think.
Whoa. Eddie Murphy from Daddy Daycare as God.
Whoa.
Look, DCU Chapter 1, Gods and Monsters, it's a lot.
It's a lot to take in. I'm sure we'll be digesting this over the coming weeks.
a lot there that I was taken by surprise. I mean, the very first thing that they announced was Creature Commandos did floor me.
Yeah.
but after that, I was like, okay, we're getting into authority, you say? it just seemed every word out of James Gunn's mouth kind of was a new and surprising thing. Really. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think the one thing we can all just rest happily knowing is that, don't worry, The Flash, it's good.
The Flash is good.
The Flash is good, guys. The
From
Flash
James
is good.
Gunn's mouth.
Now, I need, can you do that other take, but I need you to show some, like, passion? No?
No.
He's going to say it's good? Okay,
I
who
have
ordered
Sebastian
the Flash movie? The Flash movie's good.
Perfect. That's a wrap. That's a wrap. That's a wrap.
That's the take we were looking for.
Yeah, yeah, now.
Thank you so much, James Gunn, for coming in.
Yeah.
He's so, yeah, already driving away.
yeah, look, there's a lot here. And when James Gunn started announcing this, I was like, oh, no, is this going to be funny?
Yeah. Yeah, 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 it was
yeah,
funny.
There's some things that I'm like, that's funny you're announcing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Well, look. Another day, another giant slate of movies that Baseless Speculation has gone through.
Yep.
And it's another giant episode. So sure on that is. Note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
And I've also been Joel.
And I've been Michael.
And thank Michael, where much. Can we find you? I hear you're the host of another podcast.
Yeah, is this
I
true?
I am, yes, one that you boys are about to be on or have recently been on,
yeah.
depending on when this comes out. Bigfoot Collectors Club. Every Wednesday, we talk to amazing guests like yourself about their personal paranormal history and share stories of high strangeness. So if you're into the X-Files kind of stuff and you want to speculate on those kind of things, aliens, ghosts, UFOs, Bigfoot, come listen to us every Wednesday.
Hell yeah. You can also find Michael in Hollywood.
Yeah, I'll be around in Hollywood looking at that Birds of Prey billboard that I'm might still be there.
Still up.
Thanks for listening to Baseless Speculation. Remember to rate and review us on iTunes, and if you want us to hear about your baseless speculations, just email us in at baselessspeculation@gmail.com, and to continue the conversation, head on over to our Sandspans Discord or Facebook group. Links to those are in the show notes.